Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And the scripture today bears witness to the power of that Holy Spirit. Peter stands and boldly proclaims the message of Jesus Christ. And if we'd kept reading, we would have found out that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Now, at first glance, it doesn't seem to be anything special about Peter preaching to a crowd. But remember that less than 2 months earlier, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And he had been hiding in a locked house, fearing for his life. But now, Peter is preaching to those same people he feared, openly accusing them of Jesus' death. There is only one thing responsible for this dramatic change in Peter's life, and that is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Over a 3-year period, Peter goes from being an ordinary fisherman to an extraordinary man of God. Ordinary means having no special or distinctive features, normal, while extraordinary means very unusual or remarkable. When Peter stepped off of his fishing boat to follow Jesus, he was just a normal fisherman. There was nothing unusual, nothing remarkable about him. He didn't step off of that boat and immediately become a leader in the church. But after sitting under Jesus' teaching for 3 years, having received the power of the Holy Spirit, now Peter stands and does something remarkable as he proclaims the message of Jesus to this crowd in Jerusalem. Peter wasn't the only one who went from ordinary to extraordinary. All of the apostles did. None of them that we know of had any extraordinary features, power, wealth, or ability until the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit in their lives that allowed them to start a movement that would literally change the world and that continues to change the world today. But being a part of that movement wasn't easy. It took a great deal of courage and sacrifice. Matter of fact, all but one of the apostles is said to have been martyred. It is truly remarkable what they accomplished and what people today can accomplish by the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a normal priest who lived over 500 years ago, who became quite remarkable as well. Martin Luther was just an ordinary priest and professor, but he recognized issues in the church that needed to be addressed. But he did not just recognize them, he did something about it. We so casually talk about Martin Luther and him nailing his 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg. But we don't grasp the amount of courage it took for Luther, an ordinary, normal German priest, to nail his ideas to the chapel door. For this ordinary priest was challenging the very authority of the church, and he paid dearly for his actions. There were multiple attempts on his life, and Pope Leo X excommunicated him from the church. It took a great deal of courage for Luther to carry out these actions, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, that gave him that courage. If it had not been for Luther being bold and taking this step, we might all be Roman Catholic today. And then in the mid-20th century, another Martin Luther King Jr., had a remarkable influence on our world. Dr. King was the face and the voice of equality in our country. His vision and his dream of a nation where everyone was treated the same brought about a civil rights movement and civil rights legislation that is not yet fully lived out in our country. Dr. King himself was an ordinary Baptist preacher in Montgomery in 1955. It was that year that Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus. It was that year that the Montgomery bus boycott began. And in response to those actions, the Montgomery Improvement Association was formed, and Dr. King became the leader of that. It was these movements that gave birth to the civil rights movement. Dr. King went from being an ordinary Baptist preacher to an extraordinary national leader for civil rights. And I believe it was the power of the Holy Spirit that gave Dr. King the courage to face seemingly insurmountable challenges, as well as being able to face the physical abuse and ultimately his life. Peter, Martin Luther, Dr. King, they were not alone in the work that they did. Matter of fact, the work of these three men continues today among those who share their convictions. The same Holy Spirit who empowered them for their work is the same Holy Spirit that dwells in us today. And like them, the Holy Spirit will empower us for the work that God has called each of us to be about in this world and in our life. What the apostles and Martin Luther and Dr. King accomplished was not accomplished by sitting at home and wringing their hands and hoping that something would change. But it was by being empowered by the Holy Spirit that they were willing to take action for their convictions, and as a result were willing to undergo much suffering. What they accomplished did not happen overnight, nor was it easy. It took persistence in the face of opposition. What might we be able to accomplish if we were bold enough and had the courage to follow the Holy Spirit? What might we ordinary people do that would become extraordinary? What might we normal people do that is remarkable? I've heard many people say over these last few days in the face of racial tensions, I've heard them ask, "What can I do to help? I don't know what to do about this issue. I'm just one person. What can I do? What can ordinary people do to address the racial tension that exists in our country?" Well, it'll take more than sitting at home wringing our hands, hoping something will change. Now, you all were okay with me talking about Peter and Martin Luther, but I think the tension in this room went up when I mentioned racism. Some of you will misinterpret what I say. Some of you will read between the lines. Some of you will hear things that I never intended. Some of you will make assumptions and take my comments to conclusions where they were never meant to go. And how do I know this? Because you do it every Sunday. Every Sunday I have people leave the sanctuary and say to me, "I really appreciated it when you said dot, dot, dot." And I'm thinking all the while, I never said that. If I did, I didn't intend to say that. And if you do that on a regular Sunday morning, how much more will you do that when I speak about something that may be controversial to some of you? Some people will think topics like racism shouldn't be addressed from the pulpit, that preachers should stick to spiritual matters. My friends, racism is a spiritual matter. Jesus came to set the oppressed free. He called us to love all, with an emphasis on all, of our neighbors. Jesus died for all of us, and we are all children of God, regardless of the color of our skin. And Jesus calls us to serve the least of these. My friends, racism is very much a spiritual matter. when any group experiences prejudice and discrimination, when they are looked upon as inferior, that is a spiritual matter to Christians. I've heard it said that we do not have a racial problem in this country. But just because someone has not experienced racism or taken the time to listen to someone who has, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. I've also heard it said that black people are lazy and that they don't want to work, they just want the government to take care of them. That in itself is a racist statement. And that might be true of some people of color, but my friends, that's also true of white people as well. So what can we do about racism? Well, let me give you a few suggestions. First of all, we must stay engaged. We've seen this before. When racial tensions flare in the streets of the cities of our nation, we get concerned and we want to do something. But as soon as the protest dies down and the news cycle changes, we forget and we move back to our normal life until the next incident. All the while, people of color continue to live with racism every day. So be engaged. Get involved at Lighthouse or Portland Center or other agencies. But don't just go do something. Go and establish relationships with people of color. Understand them. Listen to them. Hear their stories. Hear what they have experienced during their lifetime, things that you and I have never experienced. Next, we must give up our stereotypes. We must educate ourselves about what people of color experience on a daily basis that we do not experience. Educate yourself again by establishing relationships with people of color. Don't be educated by Facebook or by the media. Be educated by having a relationship with a person of color. Next, don't be silent. Don't be silent when you hear racist remarks or see racist actions. Don't laugh at racist jokes. Don't engage in racist conversations, but speak up and call it out for what it is. Get involved. Get involved and know what legislation is before the city and the state and the federal governments. Let your voice be heard in support of legislation that deters racism, and let your voice be heard in opposition to legislation that is racist. And again, don't let Facebook and media tell you what that legislation is. You must get involved and find out for yourself. It is true that racism will not be eliminated by legislation, but legislation can contribute to the daily experience of racism among people of color. Anything of significance will not be easy. Wasn't easy for Peter, wasn't easy for Martin Luther, wasn't easy for Dr. King, nor will it be easy for us if we want to see change in this country. Be involved. Don't support politicians that make racist comments or peddle racist ideologies. The problem that we face with politicians and policies is that we may not like some of what they do and say, when it comes to racial issues, but we like their policies that benefit us personally. That's when we have a difficult decision to make. Get involved. Get involved in public education. Be informed about the policies and the practices of the school system and how it is addressing racism. Get involved in how you might be a part of the local school or the entire school system in helping to address this problem. Busing will not solve this problem. If it had, it would have been solved in this county a long time ago. It will take more than that. The first African slaves came to America in August of 1619, over 400 years ago. And African Americans over those 400 years have been told by individuals and institutions and the government, you are not good enough. You can't do that. You stay in your place. You will never achieve. You don't belong. And for many of those 400 years, they were told, you are less than human because you do not sell and trade humans. It doesn't take long for people to begin to believe what they're told. And once they believe what they're told, then they live that way. There is not a simple answer to racism in our country. If there were, it would have been solved a long time ago. But what is not the answer is silence. Turning a blind eye is not the answer. Pretending racism doesn't exist is not the answer. Ignoring the issue because it doesn't affect me is not an answer. And actually, it does affect me, especially if I claim to be a Christian. It affects me. The answer is educating yourself, or at least part of the answer, is educating yourself to the real problems facing our nation in terms of race. The answer is being involved in public institutions and public education and in all levels of our governments. This will be the hardest thing you've ever done. But I believe it's the kind of work that is at the core of who we are as Christians. This work will take courage and sacrifice, and it will take time. And if you want to do something today, this very day, there is a prayer walk at Central Park at 3 o'clock this afternoon. A prayer walk that I'll be at, your district superintendent will be at, your bishop will be at, a number of United Methodist clergy, members of other religious organizations, members of other faiths are all gathering at Central Park on the corner of 4th and Magnolia this afternoon at 3 o'clock. You want to do something? Show up at Central Park this afternoon for a time of prayer. Join together with other Christians and other faith-based people in this community to pray for healing. But we can't just pray. We can't just pray. We must be involved. We can't hide ourselves away and pretend that this issue of racism doesn't exist just because it doesn't affect us on a daily basis. It is real. Some of you may not believe that, but it is, in my opinion. From what I see and what I've experienced, where I grew up and the places that I've served over my years in ministry, I have seen it in action. And I believe that we as Christians have to have a voice, for this is a spiritual matter. And we need not be silent, but we need to be heard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.